ask your patience in reading four scriptures. The first scripture in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 and verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day, and the heavens and the earth and all their host were finished, and God had finished on the seventh day his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Then in chapter 11 of the same book, chapter 11 and verse 1, and the whole earth had one language and the same words. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and dwelt there. And they said one to another, come on, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come on, let us build ourselves a city and a tower, the top of which may reach to the heavens. And let us make ourselves a name, lest we be scattered over the face of the whole earth. And Jehovah came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And Jehovah said, behold, the people is one, and have all one language, and this have they begun to do. And now will they be hindered in nothing that they meditate doing? Come, let us go, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. And Jehovah scattered them thence over the face of the whole earth, and they left off building the city. In the book of Isaiah, in chapter 28, Isaiah 28, from verse 16, therefore, thus says the Lord Jehovah, behold, I lay for foundation in Zion a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that trusteth shall not make haste. And I will appoint judgment for a line and righteousness for a plummet. And finally, in the book, in the Epistle to the Colossians, in chapter 2, Colossians 2, from verse 9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, who is the head of all principalities and authority, in whom also we have been circumcised with circumcision not done by hand, in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of the Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which he has been also raised with him through faith of the working of God, who raised him from among the dead. And you, being dead in offenses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has quickened together with him, having forgiven us all the offenses, having effaced the handwriting in ordinances which stood against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it also out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having spoiled principalities and authorities, he made a show of them publicly, leading them in triumph by it. Seeking the Lord's help to speak about God's assessment. There are many young ones here and they are used to school. When you produce a work, it goes to be assessed. It can be pronounced good or bad, or pass or not pass. I don't know what marks are in this country, but this is what happens. And it's very good to start from young age in the world in which we live to think of God's assessment. Because there is a lot of confusion around. Confusion is not only in the languages of which we read, but is in the mind of people as well. And confusion raises or comes from the fact that faith has been abandoned and God's rights and the Lord's rights have been abandoned. And there is great need to go back to the beginning. And the beginning is what God did. And what God did was very good. It's so important to start in the first book of the Bible and in the first chapter to know that what had been done by God was good. Not only good, but very good. And this was God's assessment of his own work. He rested after that work. The creation had been accomplished. Man had been created. The host of the earth and the heavens was complete. Everything was there. And it was very good. And that was the standard that God set. And in his mercy, he has revealed to us that this standard was there before things went wrong. It is important to know this, because it has not been created like it is, all damaged by sin. It was created in perfection, according to God's goodness, and according to God's right assessment of things. And then you carry on. Many things happen. The book of Genesis tells us a bit about the history of this world. And we get to this chapter in which I read about what man did. And you notice that what man does there is that they stopped in a plain and they were as far from God as they could be. They didn't go to the mountain, they stopped in a plain. And in that plain, they got dust and of the earth to make bricks. That was the other problem. There's no stone in their building, no rock in their building, there was earth. And you know, there is one solemn thing to consider, that the dust of the earth, in the hands of God, can produce a human vessel on which God assessed that his work was good. But dust of the earth in the hand of men produces something that is contrary to God. They were hoping to make themselves a name. They were concerned of not being able to be famous. They were concerned of the fact that things might have gone not exactly to according to their mind. And so they decided to stop there and build this tower that it may reach heaven. Imagine the foolishness of it. How could you reach heaven? When I have to speak about infinity to my pupils, I always make that example. How can you reach the heaven? How can you go as far as you can go before you die? No human life can last enough to go up there. It's infinite, infinite. And this is something that has to be on our hearts. Men wanted to go beyond their own measure, and God came down and assessed the work they had done. And it wasn't very good. It was a work that had to be stopped. And it was stopped. Of course, confusion came in. We know something about it, and personally I feel that as I'm speaking, because I'm speaking in a language that is not my language. And you will notice it, and my mistakes and accent. Imagine the maddening confusion that was then. We are now used to various languages around, but they were not used. Imagine what must have been to them. But that stopped one single purpose of mankind, to make themselves a name in order to be famous. The God had another order of men to introduce. You didn't accept this order. You didn't accept what was in the heart of men. He wanted to introduce, substitute it with what was coming from himself. And what was coming from himself was ready there. But he needed, in his purpose, in his wisdom, and particularly in his sovereignty, he needed time to elapse in order that things may get mature and may get to the right time in which the Lord Jesus would have been introduced. And now, this is what Isaiah speaks about. He speaks of a man, but he speaks in a very fine way. He says, he refers to him, and as a foundation inside, a stone, a dry stone, a precious cornerstone. No mention of earth there, just stone. That is, the Lord Jesus is in view. We speak reverently about him when we use these types, but the Lord Jesus was in view there. He was precious, dried. You know, when you get a cornerstone that is needed for the building, you need to work on it. And the Lord Jesus was tried on account of what he had to bear for myself, and I trust for yourselves. Is there, as the precious indication of God's building, that building, speaking in type, will reach the heaven. It will go up there. That building will be completely heavenly. But it needed a sure foundation. Something that couldn't be moved by any human thought, nor could it be moved by any happening on this earth. This is what God laid there. I lay, behold, he says, I lay for foundation in Zion a stone, dry stone, precious cornerstone, sure foundation. And then he speaks of those that trust in that stone. Now, the gospel is offered in order that we may trust in a living Savior. This stone is the living Savior that we have offered in the gospel. He's there for us. He's there to take account of all that marks us as human creature. We all know our weaknesses. We all know that we need the Lord Jesus as a Savior. We are sinners by nature. We couldn't earn anything with our own strength. We couldn't start building anything to make ourselves a name. We couldn't do anything of that sort. We need the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And he's there as a sure foundation for what? For our faith. Our faith needs to be founded on something that is sure, that cannot be moved. It's something so important. This is God's answer to Babel, you know. This is God's way of seeing the building, of seeing something that is formed and surely founded on a rock that cannot be moved by anything that comes. And as you grow in your, from young age to older days, you will find that that rock is always there. I know for myself, we sometimes may turn away a bit, but the Lord Jesus is there. And when we turn back to him, we return to him, he's there to welcome us. in order that we may be attached to his person. This is the foundation that is set there for us. And then it's very serious what follows. He says that I will appoint judgment for a line and righteousness for a plummet. Mm-hmm. You know, the gospel is an offer of grace, mm-hmm. but it meets also with our responsibility. It's our responsibility to accept the Lord Jesus, to confess our sins, to accept him as our Savior, because we are not comparing ourselves with any other man that is as sinner as we are, but we are comparing with God's way of judging. He sets judgment for a line. Now, beware of the fact God's judgment is perfect. There is nothing amiss. There is a line there, and you know when a builder uses a line, he wants things to become straight. And the plummet, things have to be straight and not crooked. This is what God does. And he sets these things there for judgment and righteousness. His own righteousness is there as a plummet. How could we be measured with God's line or with God's plummet if it wasn't by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ? Justified in his work. Justified by what he has done. And by the way in which he has introduced us into God's plans according to his own will, in order that we may be found right and according to God's righteousness. Now, that is why I turn to Colossians, because there is a beautiful summary of what God has done for us. He starts saying that in the Lord Jesus, in him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, we don't want to forget that when we think of the Lord Jesus on the cross, he was a man at that time, perfect man without sin, we have to remember, but he was a man, physically a man, but he is also God. And in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. There was a man there that could have in him this Godhead. It was a perfect person. That is the God, that is the Lord with whom we have to do. And he has completed everything in order that we may be in him, may be having our portion in him himself. We don't have anything of our own accord. We receive everything from him. And he says in him, ye are complete in him, who is head of all principality and authority. All the authority is recognized in him. That we spoke in the reading about the fact of submitting ourselves to the Lord's rights. And it's very important to remember this. In the gospel, we present the Lord Jesus as a Savior, mm-hmm. but also as the Lord. Mm-hmm. And being the Lord, we are under his rights. Mm-hmm. And his rights would just control our hearts, our pathway, our steps, mm-hmm. as we go along in the way. This is the answer to God's plan that was completed in a perfect person. Everything that was done before was very good. Everything that has been done in Christ is absolutely perfect. No, nothing else necessary apart from what the Lord has done. And nothing that has to be repeated. If you read in the Old Testament, you find sacrifices that needed to be repeated. But the sacrifice of the Lord stands there in its beauty and perfection, and complete satisfaction of God's heart, and this doesn't need to be repeated at all. And so he speaks of us being circumcised with circumcision not done by hand, in the putting off of the body of the flesh. Now, this would be sometimes difficult when we are very young, but it just reminds us, to be short, that what is marks us as creature, that is a body in which sin abides, can be sin can be delivered from the effect of sin on account of what the Lord has done. Of course, it's a very deep matter, because we have to go to the Lord and to receive Himself in our hearts, and therefore He will work in us in order that we may be freed from our body of flesh. And this is what it says here, the circumcision of the Christ. And then we lose our status as creature. We are buried with Him in the baptism. This is as if we were taken away. It has been referred to as somebody emigrating from his own country, going to another country, and then breaking the boat that he used to emigrate. He couldn't go back. This is the same thing, buried with Him in the baptism. The body of the flesh disappears in the baptism on account of what the Lord has done for us. We desire just to simplify these matters for those who are younger, but it's very important to see that what God started with is very good. It was damaged in creation by man, but God has set another standard that won't be damaged at all. He stands there in His perfection, and we, even already now, from when we are still in as sinners here, we cannot reach these deep things that God has prepared and enjoy them already now. This is basically what this passage in Colossians tries to tell us. It has been said that here we are freed, delivered from the body of flesh, from Egypt, from the ordinances that were against us, and from the power of the enemy. Four things from which we are delivered in this section. And this is very important to notice, that is all that the Lord has done and that is there for us. And that is why we can also be raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from among the dead. Imagine the power of the Lord that nullifies the death that had come in on account of sin of men. Death had come in on account of the fact that man had disobeyed. The Lord Jesus has come in and He has overcome death. But we have to attain that through Himself as being raised from among the dead. And then He says that we were now dead in our offenses, and we have been quickened together with Him because we have been forgiven. What a blessed deliverance in the gospel. How full and how complete the truth of the gospel is, taking us from the place in which we were without any hope and transporting us to the place in which we have life and hope in the Lord and with God Himself. This is what was really on my mind. I wanted to make sure that we know that the way God started was good and very good. And what has been introduced, we can see it around us and we can feel it in ourselves as well, is being damaged by sin. But the standard that God has put there now for us is absolutely perfect and is available for us, that we may trust in the Lord, trust in Him on His accomplished work, in His going to death, in His being raised, in His living there for before God for us, in order that we may be completely assured about the deliverance that we can receive since now. I just hope that we can be encouraged, we may be encouraged in this truth. One thing is to talk about the Lord's rights, the other thing is to acknowledge them and put our hearts under them. You know, the rights of the Lord are not only the rights of the Creator, they are the rights of the Savior, the one who has considered our state and has accepted to go right to death. Read about His sufferings. Read about His last moments over the earth, in which He accepted from the hand of God to go to the end for you and for me. These are the rights that He has upon us as a Savior. If we submit ourselves to those rights, we'll find a blessing and we'll find this deliverance. A believer that is delivered according to Colossians 2 is a very happy believer, you know, even from the authorities and powers of evil. We can witness there are powers of evil around us, and we can be delivered from them by what the Lord has done. May we really, really be encouraged in all this, for His name's sake. Amen.